Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning, awesome.
Like Ryan said, my name's Kevin. I'm one of the pastor elders out at Anthem Camarillo, and it is seriously a joy to be with you. I do recognize a few of you, but there's a ton of you that I haven't met before, and I am sorry. We are a family of churches, and it has been hard during this season to really embrace and to also see one another well and to share gifting well. And so I'm delighted to be here with you guys, and I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing this be a start of us engaging a little bit more regularly together. Of course, this season, I'm sure, for all of you and for me has been difficult. I have four children. I think that I don't need to say any more. It's hard. Life is not easy right now. I don't know what you guys are coming into this morning. I don't know how many of you are frustrated. I don't know how many of you are sad. I don't know how many of you are hurt. I don't know how many of you are delighted. How many of you are ecstatic? I don't know where you're coming from. And so coming in and stepping into a situation like this can be hard to come in and teach. But I do want to pray for you right now and me as we get ready to go. As we get ready to engage with this topic and value of generosity, I want to start where we need to start, and that's with our generous one, God himself, who is right here, who is near and not far. And so if you would, let's pray, and we're going to invite the Lord to teach. We're going to invite the Lord to minister. And so, Lord, we come to you right now as your sons and daughters. We don't push all of our junk to the side. We don't push all of our garbage. We don't push all of our baggage to the side. Actually, we bring it right now to your feet, King Jesus, for you know it already. God, we ask right now in this moment that you would remind us that you are present, that you are near. If we ascend to the heavens, you are there. If we descend into the depths of Sheol, you are there. Where can we run from you, oh God? And so, Lord, none of us want to run this morning. All of us want to be right with you. We want to be in your presence. And so, Lord, even in this moment, we do ask, amidst the bustle, amidst all that's going on, even in just these next few moments, God, I ask that you would remind my friends, my brothers and sisters, myself right now, that you are here. It's our desire to glorify you with our lives, Lord. Would we respond to you, the generous one, this morning? We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there are going to be at least a couple moments where I'm going to engage with you guys. I'll ask you guys a few questions here or there. Anthem Camarillo, actually, we have been relatively homeless for this Sunday marks a year. We've been for about 6 months. We didn't have any location. And then the last 7 months or so, we've actually been up in a backyard in the estates up in Camarillo. So it has been a challenging season, but it's so great to be together in this situation. But some of you guys are obviously we're spread out, which is great. But I do want to engage with you guys a little bit. And so I'm going to prime you with the question before we get there. I want you to be thinking, as I kind of chat for a couple minutes, how is God generous? We're going to ask the question, we're going to ask four questions this morning. Who is God? What has he done in Jesus? Who am I? And how now should I live? So I want you guys just to be thinking, as we're going to prime the pump in a few minutes, how is God generous? Who is God in reality or in relationship to generosity? This morning is exciting to get to share because our church, Anthem Camarillo, exists because Anthem Thousand Oaks has been so generous. Like Ryan said, we got to help plant the church over almost 12 years ago now. And 18 months after that, we had the crazy idea to start another church in Camarillo, which was terrifying and medium-wise at best. And we went out and we planted Anthem Camarillo. And as we did, Anthem Thousand Oaks, basically like mom and dad, helped carry the burden. You guys have done an amazing job, not just with Anthem Camarillo, but we got to be the first to be recipients of the generosity that exists in this church. And when I say generosity, I'm not talking just about a little bit. I'm talking about a lot of it. For the first 4 years, Anthem Camarillo was more than 80K in the red, which Anthem Thousand Oaks said, hey, we got you. I don't know about you guys, but that doesn't, if this were a business, covering 80K a year probably wouldn't be a great idea. Maybe for the first two years, understand. But by the third year, I'm sure you would have cut us off. But praise God, this isn't a business. It's a family, one in which God is working in and redeeming. And by God's faithfulness and through the generosity of Anthem Thousand Oaks, we were able to not just become self-sufficient by the end of year four, but we also got to carry on the tradition and the legacy of generosity in which we now are practicing throughout our church, our city, and through other churches and places around the globe. So when it comes to talking about generosity, I'm really grateful that I'm not coming into a church that says, or that is demonstrating stinginess, a church that has a history of just grabbing on too tightly. Rather, I get to kind of come along as a coach and do an attaboy, keep going. And I want to encourage you guys as we talk about celebrate generosity, not that you guys aren't, not celebrate generosity, as we talk about generosity, you guys are already doing it and we want to encourage you further up and further in. I'm so thankful that our church has this legacy of generosity, and I hope that it's something that has been contagious to you and that you're passing on as well. We've got to be honest, though. Generosity, it's not just a value anymore in the church. Generosity is a value all throughout our culture. All throughout this world, there's a value of being generous. I would love to know from some of you guys really quick, just shout out, why do you think generosity in our world is a value? A couple people, just shout something out. Okay, yeah, just being kind towards others. It's generically seen as a good deal right now. What else? Why is generosity a value in our culture? It feels good to give. Yeah, a lot of our world believes some of Jesus' words that it's better to give than it is to receive. Anybody else? A lot of people are out of work right now, so it's almost human. It's a matter of being human to actually be generous with others. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yes, generosity is contagious. It has this ability to kind of multiply over and over and over again. And for a number of reasons, why, right? White, that's funny. Sometimes I just drop certain letters. Like who is the Elmer Fudd? That's who it is. Yeah, generosity can be contagious. And generosity, there's something about it that's almost innate. And I would say, in fact, there is a lot about generosity that is innate, and we'll get to that in a second. I was reading this article from Psychology Today about generosity. And they were really on point for a lot of the reasons people are generous and why we ought to be generous. We're generous, if we're generous, happiness will increase. Everyone wants to know they're making a difference in the world, and when you're generous, sometimes you get to see it. Generosity, like we just said, has this ripple effect. It's contagious, and when we're generous, oftentimes it spurs on generosity in other places. Even in this article, they started talking about how could you kind of be more generous, or what are the things that are necessary in order to be generous? And these are the things that they had. We have to increase our positive thinking skills, like gratitude, joy, and awe. Again, this is a psychology report. This is an article. But these all sound like great things. And I bring this up because it's not shocking that our world values generosity and wants to see it throughout cultures. It makes sense, because that's the way that God has actually designed us. The problem is our world desires the things of the kingdom without the king. The only way the kingdom of God works is with the King, and that's King Jesus, of course. We've got a silly saying that we say at Anthem, at least in Camarillo. We say, if you cannot have the kingdom without the King. If you do, it's just dumb. You're welcome. It will stick. But friends, this is what we're facing today. We have a world that longs for the things of God. They long for the generosity of God. They long to have what the church has. The problem is they do not want to sit under, come under, and be beneath King Jesus. They want to be their own king. And without King Jesus, we cannot actually be truly generous. So this morning, we're looking at generosity, not from a worldly sense, but from a biblical sense. And we're going to ask the question, who is God when it comes to generosity? What has he done through Jesus as we're talking through generosity? Who am I? What's my identity as it relates to generosity? And then how now should I live? But it all starts with who is God. If we don't start here, we're going to get things backwards. We'll make God in our image rather than us and his. So we start the question, who is God when it comes to generosity? When you think about God, how is God generous? How is God generous? What are some ways? How do we see it? What? His love is generous. Forgiveness. He's generous with his forgiveness. Fantastic. He's given us his Holy Spirit who dwells in us permanently. Holy smokes, that's a big one. What else? How is God generous? How has he been generous? He gave his son, Jesus. How else? Maybe go further back. He created the world. We have an incredibly generous God. We start here. We start with who is God, because God himself is generous. As we look at the creation account, Genesis 1 through 3, we see a God who eternally existed and who needed nothing, but out of generosity and love, he decided to create the heavens and the earth and all that is within. It may not be super obvious for us to see, but as we look through the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2 in particular, you see a crazy amount of abundance. God didn't just create a little bit. He just didn't create the bare minimum. God created, he created the expanse and all that is within. He created the sun, the stars in the sky. He created the moon to rule the night and the sun to rule the day. He created all the animals of the field and the earth and under the earth in the water. And all of it was very good. And then we get to humanity, and he created man and woman in his image. He created them. In Genesis 2, we get these cool paragraphs where it talks about how in the earth in which he created, there was plenty of resources like onyx and gold and all of these, all that was needed to thrive. Our God created us, this world, and all that was within in a generous fashion. Not giving us the bare minimum, but more than enough. Even after the fall in Genesis 3:15, we see this moment where God promises a seed, one that would come, who would crush the head of the serpent and whose heel would be bruised. God is generous even right after the fall with promising that he would send one who would redeem, who would reconcile, who would make things right again. You guys already mentioned that God is generous with his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy. That he's generous with his indwelling spirit. That God is generous with himself and giving his presence to others. And we'll get more into this as we go on. But we start with how is God generous? Because we are made in the very image of God, the Imago Dei. And that matters. It's from there that we now get to see how we ought to live. But God himself isn't just generous from a distance. He has shown us generosity specifically and chiefly in Jesus. I think one of the most important pieces to this generosity question is, are we talking just about money? And obviously we're not. Jesus didn't have a whole lot of that. But Jesus was generous. One of our most famous verses in the scriptures that people know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever might believe in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. God is generous in sending us Jesus. And Jesus is generous with us as he takes on flesh and dwells among us. So much so that he takes the form as a servant, as we learn in Philippians 2, and was obedient to God to the point of death, death on a cross. Jesus, throughout his life and ministry, like I said before, he didn't have a whole lot of money, but he did have something very precious to give, and that was himself. Jesus regularly throughout his life, as you go throughout the Gospels, you see Jesus giving his presence to people, specifically people who are not like him, like the woman at the well in John 4, like Zacchaeus, like even his disciples, Matthew, who was a tax collector, a traitor to his own people. Jesus taught us how to be present with, how to be generous with his presence. And ultimately, Jesus is generous with his blood. I know that's a little bit gruesome and that's not my goal, but the reality is that Jesus was so generous to us that he poured out his blood for us in order that we might be redeemed, that he might truly be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus has demonstrated generosity to us. And that generosity involved his presence, his time, meals, and ultimately his life. And it's through Jesus' generosity that we are brought back to a right relationship with him. Jesus was the promised one from Genesis 3:15. He is the one whose heel was bitten by the serpent, who died as a result of being bit by the heel, and who was laid down in the tomb and rose back to life, proving that death had no mastery over him. And in his death, resurrection, and ascension, we now become recipients of the amazing, generous grace of Jesus Christ. So who am I? The Zoolander question. Who am I? I'm the recipient of this amazing grace. Romans 5:8 reminds us that God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I am a sinner saved by God's grace, and God generously lavishes his own love for us. Not once we've cleaned ourselves up, not once we've proven ourselves. When I think about generosity in this world, I think part of the generosity that exists is people are trying to prove themselves. One of the reasons generosity is so contagious in this world is because people keep trying to outdo one another and show why they're better than somebody else. But the true reality about Jesus and what he's done for us is we could not earn it. We don't deserve it. And it's by grace that we have been saved through faith. God generously has lavished his own love for us well before we earn it. And now, as we see in Romans 8, we've been given the spirit of adoption, in which we cry out, Abba, Father. So again, who are we? We are sons and daughters of the King. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 reminds us, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Identity here, I am not my own any longer. I belong to Jesus. I've been bought by the precious, generous blood of Jesus Christ. Or we have Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So who am I? I'm a sinner saved by grace, given the most precious gift of all, a right relationship with God that lasts forever. I've been forgiven here and now. When it comes to generosity, I am provided for. In Matthew 6:11, in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. It's this picture and reminder that God will provide for us. Later in that same sermon, in chapter 6, starting in verse 25, this is what Jesus reminds us. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory will not be arrayed like any one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day of its own trouble. Part of our identity as it comes to us being sons and daughters of the King is that we are provided for. That God provides for us. If he takes care of the lilies of the field, of the birds of the air, will he not also take care of you? When it comes to being generous and living lives of generosity, we have to understand that we are secure in the loving hands and arms of Jesus, that he has proven to be faithful from generation to generation, and he will continue to be faithful. So if these things are true, how then should we live? How are we to live generous lives in response to the generous one? Friends, God doesn't do anything to you that he doesn't want to do through you. He doesn't want to do anything to you that he doesn't want to do through you. Meaning, so if he's saved you, if he's redeemed you, if he's shown you his love and grace, mercy and kindness, he wants you to then carry out and share that same thing. We talked about generosity being contagious. So is the reality of the life, death, resurrection of Jesus. When that becomes realized, it's contagious. It's to move out of us. If it doesn't come out of us, it actually can breed a sickness. It's made to come out of us, not stay within us. See, generosity absolutely includes your money. But a generous lifestyle is so much more than just giving money. If you're picking up, I'm quoting a lot from the Sermon on the Mount. If you want a radical picture of what a generous lifestyle looks like, spend time in Matthew 5 through 7. There are some very challenging pieces in here. In Matthew 6, 19 through 24, we're reminded, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Goes on down at the end of this to say that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. How then should we live? Well, Jesus tells us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, to make eternal deposits. Doesn't mean that they don't have impact here on earth. But friends, I think many of us, I don't know what your Bitcoin portfolio looks like these days, but I'll tell you what, I'm pretty sure you've talked about it a lot if you got one. I'm pretty sure you're pretty stoked if you've got Doge or Dogey or whatever it's called. And there's nothing wrong with making those investments. But all that I'm curious about, friends, is are we more interested in making kingdom investments or are we interested in making earthly investments? Remember, this world is all about generosity, or they want to be at least. But the generosity of the people of God is different. We do not look for the same returns of that of this world because this is not our home. We are exiles here. We belong to the kingdom of God. And so when it comes to living a generous lifestyle, my goal is to live a generous lifestyle for the sake of the kingdom of God. And yes, that includes your money, but it includes so much more than that. What does it look like to store up treasures in heaven? As you look at the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, there's certain pieces in there that kind of reveal what this looks like. The ever famous, if your neighbor slaps you, instead of retaliating, turn the other cheek. This is being generous. This is storing up treasures in heaven. If your neighbor goes and he sues you for your tunic, give him your cloak also. This is storing up treasures in heaven. If your neighbor wants you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. This is storing up treasures in heaven. What about that one part about like just loving people just like you in the Sermon on the Mount? That's a big point, right? To love those who love you too. Love those who take the same COVID response as you do. Love those who vote just like you. Those are the ones that you're called to love most. Oh, or maybe I'm getting that wrong. Maybe I'm getting it really wrong. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. We're to be generous with our love. We're to be generous with our money. We're to be generous with our lives. And we are in a time, in a place where sometimes that's pretty challenging. Oftentimes we are very, very selective with our generosity. I praise God that He is not as selective with His generosity as we are, right? Praise God that He is way more generous than we are. Praise God that He took a risk on somebody like Saul on the road to Damascus. Praise God that He was so generous with somebody like me, who was a giant mess in my own tiny world of emotions, and I was all wrapped up and I was all locked up thinking that there was very little hope until I finally realized that there was one who knew me and loved me, and His name was Jesus Christ. And He was my only hope and my salvation, and He met me in my darkest places, in my darkest moments. And it was there where there was healing. It was there where the generous love of Jesus was poured out in my life. And it's through those experiences in which I want to see other people experience the generous love of God. Not because they have earned it or because they deserve it, but because they have been made like we started in Genesis 1:26 in the Imago Dei, in the image of God. As we get ready to close down in a few minutes here, I don't know how much we care about being generous. I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. I don't know how much you care about being generous with others in your life. I don't even know if it's a thought. I think ultimately, as we grow to be more and more like Jesus, we don't even have to think about generous. It's just who we are. But the reality is we live in this in-between space where regularly the cares and pleasures of this world try and entice our hearts, and all of a sudden we have become more stingy, or all of a sudden we've become more reserved, or all of a sudden we don't even know how we've got to where we've gotten. But when you think about the last time you were generous with somebody without any expectation of something in return, you're like, yeah, I don't know when that was. And none of this is for guilt or shame. But friends, as we were preparing, as I've been preparing for this message on generosity, I keep coming back to the same thing. And that is this, that if we have any hopes to truly be a generous people, we have got to grow in cherishing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of not just our lives, but of this entire world. If we have any hopes of wanting to be a generous people with our children when they're driving us crazy over distant learning, if we have any hopes of wanting to be a generous people with our neighbors who hate us, if we have any hopes of wanting to be a generous church and continue to plant churches, it has to start with cherishing Jesus above all else. We cannot truly be a generous people without adoring, worshiping, submitting to the ultimate generous one. We must be connected to him. And friends, if we are truly connected to the generous one, generosity will pour out of you. Generosity will pour out of us. But you do play a role. You're not robots. It's not about a certain formula. You've got to make decisions to be generous. I believe this is one of the reasons why giving or tithing is such an important piece to our walk and discipleship unto Jesus, because yes, it is something in which God calls us to be obedient to, but at the same time, it is a discipline that regularly divorces our hearts from this world's desire for the love of money. And we need to have these disciplines in our lives, or else we're gonna find ourselves slowly but surely getting further and further away from the heart of God. So as I close, I'm going to take us to Psalm 23. I don't know when the last time was you experienced the generosity of God in your life, but I love what Psalm 23 has to offer us. And the worship team, you guys can come on up as we get ready to close. And I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to read Psalm 23 over us. And this translation is one that Pete Scazzaro helped work through. So if it doesn't sound like your King James Version, I'm sorry. I'm going to move this down so you guys can get set up. That was very weird being on a stage, by the way. I haven't been on one of those in a long time. But as we look to respond now, to be generous ones, to continue to let this be a virtue that grows in us, we recognize that it will only happen if we are connected to the vine, if we are connected to Jesus, who is our shepherd. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes with me or to get in a comfortable posture. Feel free if you want to put your hands out in front of you. But if we desire to be a generous people, it's going to be because we have a Lord who is our shepherd. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. God, if we lack nothing, that means we have so much to give. Would you help us truly believe that? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He settles me down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He brings me back. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness, beauty, and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, as we close this morning, we ask that you would be drawing us near and that we would respond. God, we ask that we would remember your generosity of old and of near, that we would remember what you have done through Jesus, how you generously poured out your life for us, that you redeemed us, that you bought us with a price. We are not our own, that we belong to you and that you provide for us. We are now your sons and your daughters. We get to partake in this meal within your kingdom. And God, I pray for my friends who maybe feel dry, who feel like you are far off and you are not near. God, would we know that right here, right now, you are near. You are not short on your generosity toward us. Help us receive it from you. Help us be cognizant of your generous life that was poured out. And would you help us, Lord Jesus, cherish and adore you above all else? Please, Lord. And now as we look to respond, we ask that you would help us be a generous people with our presence to others, with our finances, with our voice, with our words of encouragement, with our food. Would we be a generous people for your namesake, not to gain anything from you, not to get approval, but because you have so loved us? Father, I thank you for the church's history and legacy of generosity. We ask that you would multiply it, O God. Continue to move in us and shape us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.